Our veterans group started back in 2018, and in 2019, Anthony Poff was one of my soldiers here in Minnesota, and he recognized me as the Red Cross hero for the year, and you know, recommended that I get this award. You know, that I had no idea. And the American Red Cross partnered with Slumberland, and they made this real awesome video. They had a military hero, they had first responder hero, teachers heroes, and stuff like that. So I was just one of many that got recognized that year. And you know, I was really blessed by that. And the reason I like to share the video is because it really does talk a little bit about what we do and why we do the things that we do. Now, this was back in 2019. Here we are in 2026. And since we started in 2018, this is 9 years later, and our group is still going, and it's going strong. And every year, every day, we're doing something that we can do to support our veteran community. So for those of you that are just joining us, thank you guys for coming. My name is Raul, and this is my wife, Miriam. And we are the life group leaders and ministry leaders at the Waters Church in Sartell for our Military Veterans Network group. And again, just wanted to share that little video. Now, if I can just pause for just a quick second. Don't try this at home. I'm going to stand on the chair. Okay. If I fall, do not get video.
Please don't fall.
I think so. Is it a three prong?
No, it's a two prong.
Are you
all right.
Kidding me?
No. Yeah. So now we got one more thing to find.
We can
but it's all right. Yeah. We'll let you do that, and we'll just continue on. All right. Yes. All right. So just to get a feel for the room here. How many of you are veterans, served in the military? Okay, all right. Thank you guys for your service. And the rest of you family members? Okay, all right. Any church leaders, pastors? Okay, all right, good. A lot of same hands, that's good. We're kind of speaking the same language now that we're going to start once we get started with this. And so this picture was of our dinner, and that was part of the video that popped up. That dinner that we did just recognized all of our veterans. At our church, it's grown more since 11 years ago, but we started with 20 veterans as a practice life group. You know, it was, we're just gonna try and see if there's gain any interest, okay? And the first meeting we had a little interest meeting. There were seven of us that I was introduced to by one of our pastors, and then from there, when we set a meeting, a gathering, we had 20. And quickly, right after that, it grew and grew and grew. Right now, we are over 100 veterans at our church, and with our family members included, we're easily at 300. That's a great number to have, a great problem to have when you have too many people, right? But or when you have a lot of people. But as veterans know, and you know, we don't like a lot of meetings, and we don't like a lot of groups all the time. So when we have our monthly get-togethers, our monthly fellowships, there's usually about three or four of us. So you know, we get a lot to come to the events, but when it comes to just that short-term, you know, a little fellowship, it's a small group. But that's great, because when you have a small group, you have more time to connect, right? So just a little bit about what we're going to be talking about today is I'm not going to preach a sermon to you. I'm going to give you two scriptures, and we're basically going to just talk about what can we as a church do to reach out to our veteran community, why it's important, kind of how to do it, and talk a little bit about these two displays that I have here. Some of you have seen them. Some of you, this is the first time. Maybe you've seen them and you don't know exactly what they mean. So we're going to talk a little bit about those as well. They are very meaningful and very touching, but they can also bring about some some trauma, bring about some memories because of what they stand for. Okay, and so we're going to talk a little bit about here. Let's see. Come on, work. All right. Well. All right. The need in Minnesota alone, we have 265 veterans, 265,000 veterans in Minnesota. That's from the latest Department of Minnesota Veterans Affairs website. So it's 5 to 7% of Minnesota's population. Okay, 265. That's a lot. 265,000 is a lot. When I was in the Marine Corps back in the 90s and the 1900s, right? Some of you were way a little bit before, and there goes the power. It's all right. All right, no problem. We'll wing it from here. Okay, no, just kidding. We have a great opportunity to reach veterans. Okay, we have a great opportunity to reach our veterans in our communities. Just from a show of hands, how many of you are from churches in rural areas? All right. Okay. How many veterans do you know besides yourselves? Quite a few. Okay. All right. There's been a few people that have come by our booth between yesterday and this morning and have shared that, hey, you know, there's like a little bit, you know, there's maybe two or three that I know, maybe one comes to my church, but there's a VFW in town. And although those veterans don't come to your church, they are still a people that we can reach, right? And again, the purpose of what we're trying to do is to be able to equip churches to reach that veteran community and the reasoning behind it. We have men's groups, we have women's groups, right? We have youth groups. We have divorce care, we have single care. You know, we have all these different types of groups. But in some of my research, I have not found another church within Minnesota that has a veterans group as we do. Okay, and so that's whenever you see a gap, we want to try to fill a gap, right? We see a need and we want to fill that need, right? So as believers, as ministers, our job is to go out and disciple and fulfill the Great Commission of reaching out everybody, right? Veterans are part of that everybody. Our Vietnam veterans are part of those that were forgotten. So if there's any Vietnam veterans here, I want to say welcome home and thank you for your service, because they did not receive that welcome back when they came home from Vietnam. They did not receive that recognition or that pat on the back. They didn't receive that smile. They received a lot of disgust and a lot of just foul language and everything, right? When I came back from Afghanistan, I had a couple of deployments to Afghanistan. I had my first time, I had a big welcome. The second time, I had the best welcome. It was just my wife and my kids meeting me at the airport. And that was better than the big old parade the first time and all that stuff, because that's my family, right? Those are the people that I am serving to protect. As believers, we serve Christ. Right, and we're part of God's army, and we're part of that army that's going to serve and protect our community, and our community is everyone around us. Those that are unbelievers, those that are unreached, those that are believers but maybe are on the fence on their faith, right? And we have something unique to share with them. We have something that is maybe to them is curiosity. You know, what was it like to serve in the military? You know, how did you deal with different circumstances? I'll tell you one thing that we've learned in the military is we've learned how to deal with difficult situations, right? And sometimes those difficult situations are because we made them difficult, right? It wasn't because it was something extremely hard. You know, your motor sergeant told you to go out and change the tires on the Humvee, and you know, you just made it into this big old fiasco because, you know, which tire do I get? There's radial tires and there's multiply tires. Do you want it with run flats? And you know, I don't have the right tool to take off the lug nuts, you know, and you know, the all elusive jokes on the new guys. Go get the keys to the Humvee, you know, make sure you get that blinker light fluid because that light's not turning on the vehicle. You know, we get all those jokes, right? But those jokes don't necessarily translate to the civilian side, right? Our civilian friends, non-military people, when we crack those jokes, they don't understand the humor behind it. You know, they don't understand what it means to have a little fun with some of our vets, right? So maybe at church, we feel a little, you know, distance, because the jokes you usually crack around with your friends with in the military, some of them are bad, right? And we stay away from those now. You know, we've been reformed, we've been redeemed, we're clean, we're born again, right? So even though those jokes are back there and they want to come out, you resist the temptation.
But you still laugh at them.
You can look at another veteran and kind of and just like, you know what I want to say, right? And then you just leave it alone, right? But that community in our church doesn't understand it. They can't relate all the time, right? And one thing that I found is I've gotten a lot of people at our church that have said, what can I do? What can we do to help? You know, I want to do something. I never got the chance to join, or I had my grandparents or other family members that joined, but they're distant relatives. I want to do something to help, you know. And this is where we stepped in. And my wife and I, again, we started this group back in 2018, and it was a small group, and we didn't know what it was going to grow to be, right? And with time, we went from 7 community partners, just like how we have all of our exhibitors out here in the lounge in the foyer area, providing resources. We did that at our church. We brought in the VA, we brought in the DAV, the American Legion. And you're saying like, oh, well, those are all the same ones that we always see whenever we go to a stand down or we go to these places, right? But we also found other resources that we didn't know were out there, like equine therapy. You know, we actually brought a horse to our church. And we had veterans actually go up and meet with the horse and have the horse. I don't know what it is about horses, but they have some healing power by God, and those horses just know. And so our friend Jodine, she's got an amazing ministry, amazing job that she does with equine therapy. And she has this little group on Fridays called Freedom Fridays, and it's open up for veterans. And she receives grants for veterans to be able to go and receive equine therapy for free, okay? We have other organizations that started off small and then grew into something very big. My friend Tom over here is part of a group that's called Magnus Veteran Foundation, and they started off small, and they are in what city?
Down by Rogers,
right? And they provide medical care, they provide chiropractic care, they provide therapy, all kinds of stuff. They got a big old ranch for you to take walks and just kind of be in your zen zone, right? And just have that peaceful relaxation that sometimes we just need, right? How many of you like going fishing? Right? Okay. So you're going out fishing, you're by yourself, and it's just quiet and peaceful, right? Except for the anxiety of when you catch that fish and then it comes off the hook right at the end. And then you're ticked off and you're like, why did I even come out here today? You know, that was the big one that I was going to take home and mount on my wall. And, you know, and we got that big fish story, right? But that's kind of why we started doing these things. Some of the other groups that we've brought in were one group that's called Creative Camera. And Creative Camera, they give veterans the opportunity to express themselves through photography, okay? We have other ones that have art, and other ones that are mental health, that are outside of the VA. We team up with the vet centers. How many of you like doing construction work? Okay, all right, so Habitat for Humanity, okay? And construction work is not my deal, but handyman or, you know, jack of all trades, master of none, that's me. A few of us here in this room volunteered with Habitat for Humanity a few years back, and we helped to build 2 veterans homes in the St. Cloud and Sauk Rapids area. And that was a great experience to be able to be part of an organization that was building a home for a veteran, specifically for a veteran to receive. And if you understand and know the Habitat for Humanity process, I mean, you have to be in a position where you already are homeless, you're gonna be homeless, you have a family that needs shelter, and you don't have the proper means to provide a home, a proper home. Maybe they're living in a hotel, different living situation, you know, going from couch to couch and house to house with friends, they help them. And there's a whole financial piece that goes with that as well. But one of the big things that they have them do is they have to bring some investment into it themselves. And it's not financial, it's physical. So they have to do some of the work themselves. Some of our veterans, as we very well know, are handicapped, right? They have different physical limitations, and maybe from the outside it looks perfect, but on the inside, you know, they can't even pick up a hammer. So they can have family members or friends work their hours for them that are needed. You know, I think they need to do like 200 community hours on their own home, so they can have a part of it, right? And so this one veteran, Brandon Rogers, was the first veteran home that we helped build. He has a lot of physical limitations and he couldn't do any of it. So us as a military network, when we found out about it, we jumped in and we did some of his hours, you know. And from that house, we went to another veteran's house and we helped build that one. And then we also helped build a few other houses that were for just other families, non-veteran families. So having that opportunity was something very special to us, right? So what does all this kind of mean to you guys? You know, why am I telling you all this? Well, these are things that we as the church can get involved with. We as the church can find those opportunities, one, to help our veterans find a sense of purpose, because sometimes after military life, we're trying to figure out, what am I going to do? Some don't have that problem. Some perfectly start up a business, you know, or they have a job they weren't right into, or some of them retire and then they retire and that's it. They don't, you know, they had enough of their thrift savings plan saved up that they don't have a need. Anybody here in that situation? Don't raise your hand. Okay. I want to be your friend now. So, you know, but you know, so they have those financial resources that they don't have to worry about it. But now there's time. So what else do I do? What can I do? Right? So veterans are looking for something to do. And again, that may be your case. It might not be your case, but that is definitely the case of veterans around us. And a lot of veterans are just walking around our churches that we don't even know. You know, we don't know. I can literally walk around my church now, and after being at our church for 11 years, and look around and say, oh, there goes a vet. Oh, there goes a vet. There goes a vet. There goes a family member of a vet. There goes one of those vet kids. You know, we all know those vet kids, right? Mine's sitting in the back with the camera. Yeah. And so we put her in the corner sometimes, you know.
I'm our photographer for our group.
Yeah. And so, you know, we want to keep our vets engaged with things, right? One of the things that we have in our name as veterans, when we were serving, is service members, right? We're all service members. Why? Because we love to serve, right? We volunteered to serve, right? So in a moment, I'm going to read the oath of enlistment, and we're all going to sign up because they're calling us up again, right? All right, we've done this once, done this. We're going to do it twice. No, just kidding. you know, we have that in our blood. You know, we volunteered for this. Some of them might not have had a choice because, you know, it was like my father did it, my grandfather did it, and my great grandfather did it, and you got a lineage, so it's an expectation. But still, we volunteered for this. We volunteered to serve, and service members, veterans, are a great resource in your church. Okay, how many of you have church parking lot security? I know we do. Veterans are a good fit for that job, right? Give them a sense of purpose and give them a role to lead. You know, what's that?
And a gun.
And a gun. Hey, you know, it's Minnesota, right? You know, you know. Oh, I will not confirm or deny. Okay, Texas. Hey, same thing. Open carry, whatever they want to do, right? But you have that sense of security knowing that someone knows how to handle themselves in a situation. Right? Not that we're going to be violent, but we know how to de-escalate things. You know, we can escalate them if we need to as well, right? And we're not afraid to do that. But it's not about being violent or anything like that. It's about caring for the people that we're serving, right? So, you know, I don't have I can't sing for squat. So I try to sing, and my daughter and my wife and my other kids, when we're in church, they tell me, "Dad, don't worship. Like, worship silently."
No, we don't say that. You never said that.
In the car. In the car, right? So, you know, worship silently because I can't, you know, I can't hit the high notes. I can do the low notes. Yeah, right now. Sure. See? But I will never see myself on the worship team. Okay? I am not musically inclined. I will never see myself playing an instrument, although I do have one hit song, and it's called Escape from Alcatraz. And if you ever go to our church, I'll play that song for you. It's a one hit wonder. But I can serve in other places. I can serve as an usher, and I can serve in other ministry areas, right? Obviously, this is a great fit for me and my family because we grew up in this. This year, my wife and I will be celebrating 30 years of marriage, and thank you. And all of it has been in the military. So, you know, and then this last year and a half of retired military life. And so my wife has been my support, my rock from the very beginning. And she's seen my military ups and downs. She's seen my screw-ups. She's seen my awards, my promotions, and even my demotions. You know, I mean, I've been there, done that. You know, I am by no means a perfect soldier, a perfect Marine, or any of that stuff. But I am redeemed, and God has blessed me with the ability to be able to lead a group like this. Here in the room, I've got a member of our veterans and family members from our church that are part of our group. And so I'm gonna let my wife share a little bit about our family side and how we care for families as well, families and kids. So.
So one of the big, obviously, when we first had this in his heart, this was back in like 2011, yeah, that he first felt like God really wants me to do something with vets. And then 2012, it affirmed it. We've been waiting for a while, so this has been going on. But one of the things is we want to be sure we touch the families or reach out to the families. Sometimes spouses, I met my friend right there. I love this story because the day I met her was the day her husband deployed at church. And she came up straight to me. I was on the prayer team. It was a moment that I'll never forget, and we became family that day, right? Because she didn't have to say a single word to me. I knew exactly what she was going through. I knew what her kids were going through. And it was when we were like, you know, we need this. We need something like this so that we can communicate. Because it's not just her by herself now. She has family now. And we found more families, right, that are around her, that surrounded her. We've had veterans that have deployed, or military service members that have deployed. And during the winter, you know, him and other groups have gone and done lawn mow, you know, plowing the driveways or doing lawn mowing services, anything that could help the spouse while the service member's away, that's been another way. This is how we see our families, right? Spouses, we are not, I think we get a lot more recognition now than probably any of the previous generations did. We do get a lot of recognition, and I agree with that. Our kids were born with, while he was in the service, but a lot of the kids right now that we know, their parents served prior to the kids being here. But we still honor those kids because, you know what, they get their mom and dad after the fact, and they still need to be seen, and they still need to be said, hey, you matter here, and we see you because you have to deal with what mom and dad are bringing from the past, right? And we want to make sure that our kids feel seen. What do we do that for our Veterans Day appreciation? We do a big old thing for our veterans, but they also have, our church is amazing about putting out a kids party every year. In the kids' church, they'll do games with them, they'll have a pizza party to celebrate the kids and the grandkids of the veterans. How amazing is that? Like, that's pretty cool. And that makes them also, the kids belong to something. Every kid is longing to belong to somewhere, especially right now, the way society is. Kids are just looking for something. We want them to connect to something positive that's going to tell them, hey, your identity is in Christ and you are a service member, family member. We love you. We appreciate you. But here, let's bring you back to the whole, again, always going back to Christ at the center, right? With that being said, we want to always make sure he is one. And I know our veterans here, we always want to involve the families. And I love it because we do want to involve the families. But I can tell my husband, make sure if you have a military group like this, make sure you have time for just your service members, just your veterans to connect. They need to have a safe, you guys need to have a safe place to connect and be free to speak as you will. There's things about him that I don't know and I don't want to know because I'll never understand. And it will probably scare me if I hear everything he has to say, right? You guys, I see him connect with veterans all the time, and you guys can speak so differently, so freely. And yeah, sometimes it's hilarious to watch because I'm like, what are they talking about? I have no idea. And some of the jokes that they say are a little rough for me to hear too. I was like, wow, okay. But I'm used to it, I'm kind of neutral to it. But again, we want to make sure that that focus always stays time for them to just connect, for you guys to just, hey, whether you want to relive the past or you just want to move forward and minister to new service members too. We have a lot of new oncoming service members. We're ministering to the parents of those service members. We have military child back there too that has helped us a lot, a grown-up man over there. But just making sure that we make those kids, those grandkids be seen too, because guess what? It's their family too, and it's something to be proud of. You know, I'm proud of my husband. I'm super proud. My grandfather served in World War II. My brother served in Desert Storm. He's retired from the Army, but he's still a Texas State Trooper at this point, so he's still out there, right? But just making sure that we see the whole family and the whole support system. My husband left. He deployed, and we had something called Yellow Ribbon at the time, you know, when he left those two times. That was a godsend because I didn't live in a military base. I didn't live near any military community. So guess what? All these events that we went to, I got to take the kids, and they connected. And we're trying to bring a lot of those experiences back to these groups. Like, hey, we can have a craft day for our kids or Christmas party every year. We threw a Christmas party. We've had years where we had 40 people show up, years where 10 people showed up, but it doesn't matter. We still have something for them to say, hey, I'm part of this community as kids, as family members. I love it. I love kids. I've been around kids my whole life, and I've loved working with kids. My kids are now growing up. Our youngest is 13. But it's still so amazing to hear even my son say, hey, I remember when we did this, or I had fun. He's always wearing his favorite. That kid does not change. He always wears the same Military Network hoodie all week. I don't know how. He has like 10 hoodies. And we bought him another one, so now he switches between the two Military Network hoodies. Again, this is giving him a sense of pride to like, hey, my dad served, and my dad's part of this group, and I want him to feel like this is something important, you know. We are so honored. I am honored to have him doing this. I'll walk with him no matter what. At some point, he joked about going back. No. Well, he was trying to be funny the other day. He said, oh, they're going to start reactivating people. And I looked at him. He says, no, not at my age range. I said, okay, not at your age. No, you're not going anywhere. But again, I want to make sure that he always knows that I'm here for him as a spouse. But again, I want my kids to feel that they have support too. And our 26-year-old daughter, and I know I've shared this before at church, but you know, she has some trauma from daddy deploying. Soon as dad deployed the first time, she was in sixth grade, her grades dropped. Like really bad. She was a straight A student, and then she struggled to graduate high school. Again, this impacts everybody, right? So making sure those family members are also seen. Again, this is one way. Maybe the service member doesn't go to your church, but the spouse does. Or like in our case, the ex-spouse, their kids are military kids. The ex-wife or the ex-husband goes to our church. They come to our groups, even if the service member isn't there, because we're still going to be there for them as well. Does that make sense? Just making sure we, you know, again, we all, to some extent, we don't want to be the like up on the spotlight. I don't like the spotlight. I get nervous. But we want to be seen. We want to be at least, you know, I'm going through something here. I don't want to always have to be asked, what are you going through? If somebody asks me what's going on when it has to do with military, I have a hard time explaining it. But I know that I could go to my friend Shelly and she gets it because we've been there. We've done it. I don't even have to explain myself that much, right? Just finding that community. Another one to do, Month of the Military Child is April. So this is a perfect time. If you want to start anything in your church, just do like one great night. Hey, let's have a little pizza party for our military kids, grandkids, whatever you want to do it. This is a good time to start it too. And it kind of gives that open invitation for if anybody's interested in starting something for the families.
So, just to kind of piggyback off of that piece of it there I know April... It's the military terms. I'm sorry. You know, piggyback. You know, I was going to kill you guys with death by PowerPoint, but you know, it went the wrong way, so we're fine. The month of the military child is April, right? But April's coming to an end here in a couple of weeks. But there's still another opportunity. You have Memorial Day is coming up. Okay, and Memorial Day is a day that we want to utilize to remember our fallen. Okay, and for the longest time, it was always used as just to remember the fallen that died in combat, right? But over the last 10 to 20 years with our Global War on Terrorism vets, it's been a lot of suicide, Okay, it's been a lot. It's been a lot of losing service members due to the results of service, right? Whether they were in combat or not, just the trauma and the stress of being in the military. Sometimes having friends that deployed and get lost and are lost in service, that affects people, right? So for Memorial Day, it's great. It's a great opportunity for churches to reach that veteran community and just say, we see you. And not just you, but we recognize the family members that are here of our fallen, right? So if you look over here on your right, you see a table. I know it's not round. I only had a school table to use. But if you go down to our booth, all the way down at hallway by hallway B, you will see you'll see the same display with the round table. It's the missing man table, or the prisoner of war and MIA table, right? Missing in action table. It's utilized in every single military ceremony, every dining in or dining out, or throughout all branches, everybody uses it. And it's just used to symbolize that we remember those that are not here with us, right? The biggest thing for me is I'm not a drinker anymore, thanks to God. But that inverted wine glass is there because we can no longer share a beverage with our fallen because they're no longer here, right? So that is very, very touching and very, very moving. And it's something that we can use to reach our veterans in our churches and say, we see you and we recognize the hardship that's gone on, in your life and your experiences. Those that have deployed and been in combat, you would imagine how hard it is to have a burial service or a memorial service for a fallen in combat. So what's been used has been the battlefield cross. And the battlefield cross is literally the boots of the fallen with their rifle, their helmet, and their dog tags. This one is very hard because whenever we have somebody that's lost, it's a very hard thing to do because right after this, you got to switch your mind and get back to the game, get back to the mission at hand, right? There's no time to dwell. There's no time to feel remorse. There's no time to feel survivor guilt. You got to just keep going, 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 going. Eventually, you can dwell on it. And that's what hurts us when we come back. Because when we come back, then we go through all the memories and we remember this, right? But it's something that's important to us as veterans, right? So as a church, if you've never seen these, if you've never had these at your church, I promise you, if you display something like this, even if it's a picture on your screen at church and just use it as a way of acknowledgement, your veterans will feel something. They will feel seen. They'll feel loved. They'll feel honored. They'll feel respected. Okay. Not that we don't respect them and we don't honor them, but sometimes they just need to be told, right? It's a great way to get interest into a group for your veterans to say, hey, I didn't realize, how many churches have ever said, if there's any veterans for Veterans Day, please stand up and we just want to give you a round of applause, right? And all of a sudden you see people stand up and you're like, oh, I didn't know he was a vet. I didn't know she was a vet. Sometimes you got little grandmothers standing up and you're like, I cannot believe Sister Mary, she's so nice, but she was a drill sergeant back in the day or something, and it's like, I can't picture it, and people are going to surprise you sometimes that like, wow, you were in the, and then there's going to be other ones and be like, yeah, I knew it. Yeah, your attitude just says it all, nobody's going to surprise you, right? But these are things that we use. I have a small basket over here on the corner. We are actually going to raffle off at the end of this a starter kit, okay? The missing man table, we're going to bless one of you guys with a display so that if you don't have something, you can use it at your church, okay? We want to give you something for you to take from here and use at your church, okay? The last thing I want to do real quick, we got about 15 minutes left, is it's not just me, it's not my wife, it's not my daughter, but it's our local impact, our community of veterans, right? So I'm going to have two of my veterans come on up one at a time. All right, don't fight. Okay. And they're just going to share from their perspective, of what our group at our church has meant, And you can kind of see the impact of what it could possibly be at your church, right? So I'm going to have Tom Martin come on up. He is an Army veteran, and he's been with us since the very beginning as well. So, Tom?
So I'm not as fluid as these guys. I need to read. So today I want to share a little bit how the military network at the Waters Church has impacted me and why I believe it matters for every church to consider having one. Like a lot of veterans, when I transitioned out of the military, life changed in ways I didn't fully understand or expect. The structure was gone. The mission was gone. Okay. Oh, you messed me up.
Sorry. You can keep reading.
The structure was gone, the mission was gone, and maybe more than anything else, the people were gone. You go from being surrounded by individuals who think like you, who understand you without explanation, to a world where even in a good church, you can feel a little out of place. Not unwelcome, just not fully understood. And that's where a military network made a real difference. When I got connected with ours, I found something I didn't even realize I was missing, camaraderie. There's just something about being around other veterans. You don't have to explain your background. You don't have to translate your experience. There's just an immediate connection, a shared understanding. And that connection opens up to something deeper, and that's fellowship. Not a surface-level conversation, but a real relationship, the kind where people check in with each other, pray with each other, and show up when it matters. And that's something that I think is important for churches to understand. Veterans don't always ask for help. But that doesn't mean they don't need connection. Sometimes we just need most just to be around people who understand us, and a space where we can let our guard down a little bit. And that's what this network has provided for me. It created a place where we can continue to live out something that was ingrained in us during our service, taking care of others. In the military, you learn quickly to not leave someone behind. And through this group, we're still doing that. We're helping other veterans, whether it's connecting them to resources, supporting them through difficult times, or simply being someone they can talk to. That's ministry. It's one thing that reaches people who might not otherwise step into a church. Another thing that stands out is being around like-minded people. People who understand service, sacrifice, discipline, and purpose. Those values don't disappear after the military, but they can feel disconnected if there's no place to plug them in. A military network gives those values a home inside the church. And for me personally, it's been a reminder that the mission didn't end when I took off the uniform. It just changed. Now the mission is showing up for each other, supporting our families, serving our communities, and making sure no veteran feels isolated or forgotten. And here's what I want to leave you with. If your church doesn't currently have a military network, there are likely veterans sitting in your congregation right now who are quietly carrying things alone. They may not raise their hand, they may not come forward, but they are there. And creating a space like this gives them a place to belong, not just attend. It doesn't have to be complicated. It starts with intention, with recognizing the need, and with creating a space where veterans can connect with each other and be supported within the church. From there, it grows naturally into relationship, into outreach, and into real impact. This kind of ministry matters because it meets people where they are. And for many veterans, that place starts with connection. I can tell you from personal experience, it's made a difference in my life. And I truly believe it can make a difference in your church as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom.
Yeah, you got it, brother.
Let's give Tom a hand.
All right. I don't know if my kids would say I need a microphone, but my name is Rich. I written a rap, you know, the unwilling, loved by the unqualified, did the unnecessary for the ungrateful. You remember that? And there's a lot that my wife back there in the scooter Now, we've been together for 52 years, and I don't think she's heard any of my military stories except from secondhand. And I'm not real open about it, okay? Last January, we went to Alaska for a mission trip, and if you fly Delta or Alaskan airline, and you tell me you're a vet, you get a discount. And our leader says, well, why don't you ever tell people you're a vet? And I said, well, when I came home, we kind of didn't mention it, okay? And you guys know exactly what I say. When we started with the military network, you know, can you imagine how hard it is to start a veterans group and you don't have beer? I don't drink anymore, but still. But the thing with the military network for me was, how many of you know what the disease scurvy is? Yeah. And in the 1700s, 1800s, and that, about half the sailors that went out didn't come back because they died of scurvy. And the whole reason was that they had the food, they had the rum, they had the water, they had all the stuff. They even had their exercise in that. But they were missing vitamin C. And without vitamin C, their body couldn't process that stuff. And I kind of look at the military network as, you know, we get the veterans together and we give them vitamin C. That's Christ. And, you know, because most of us left the service feeling like, you know, I can handle just about any kind of situation. I mean, if things start flying the wrong way, I'm here. And we keep thinking that to ourselves. But the statistics tell us by the end of today, 23 veterans are going to figure out they can't handle it by themselves. And they take their own life. Now, if they got Christ inside of them, they don't have to handle it by themselves. And I think that's the big thing with the military network. We'll give them that vitamin C. Because there's all kinds of services, there's a VA, every time you turn around, there's a different veteran service group or organization and that. But most of us, we go to those things, and I heard that before. I hear what you're saying. I can't put it in myself. But those of us who have Christ, you know, we have a hope. And we know that what happened to us wasn't a weird freak of nature. It wasn't just the luck of the draw. Jesus spared me because he had something for me to do. And I remember that every day, and that's why I keep doing services. I like to volunteer.
Thank you, Rich. Thank you. You know, just wanted to share with you those are personal impact stories, and I can give the microphone to my good friend Aaron or Brian or even my daughter. You know, and they can share with you those impacts that have been made in their lives, right? And just like any life group in your church that's designed to make an impact and make change in the lives of those that are attending, a veterans group in your church can make that life-changing impact for them as well, okay? There's always questions, how do I start one? Where do I look? You know, do I go look under a rock for a veteran? You know, it's like, where do I find them? You know, and it's simply, the simplest way is just to do something like this on Memorial Day. Acknowledge them. Look, have somebody be your scout. All right. We all know in the military, we got a scout, right? Do some recon, right? Listen for ears. Look at those that are walking around. My brother here has got his Air Force retired hat on. You walk around, and you see those hats. You see, look at the stickers in your parking lot. You know, who's got, you know, Vietnam veteran, Afghan war veteran, you know, Iraq war veteran, Gulf War, all that. Look at those things. You know, just be aware of who's around you. And it's not just that, but the family members. That veteran might not be here anymore because they're no longer breathing. And it could be for a number of reasons why they're not here. Those family members are missing a part of that of their life. We as a church can come in and fill that gap. The American Foundation for Suicide Awareness does like a Relay for Life walk every year in September here in St. Cloud. And we've walked that. We've done that with them. And, you know, you wear different bead colors for those that have died by suicide, those that were killed in action, people that have hurt themselves for a number of different reasons. It's not just specifically for military. But I've done that, and I've walked for certain people. And then, you know, I put a sticker on my back or a little name tag and say, I'm walking for, and then the name of my friends, you know, because I'm bringing awareness, suicide awareness for them. You know, we're going to say their name. Okay. On my first deployment in 2009, this gentleman was not part of my unit, but we were tasked in Afghanistan to hold a vehicle holding area. It was basically a truck stop. So I'm a truck driver, military truck driver by you know, schooling in both the Marines and the Army. When I joined the Army, I was like, I'm not going back to school. Just same job I did in the Marines. They're like, oh, perfect. You're qualified already. You know? So when I was in the Army, we were at that vehicle holding area, and we were 5 miles away from the Pakistan border. And we had combat engineers with us, and those combat engineers are there to sweep mines and also to check for any explosives on the trucks that were coming in. So we had canine units with us as well. And there was this one kid, 19, 20 years old, that's just like that one pumped up kid that he's on caffeine all day long. And you're just trying to, dude, shut up. Just stop. And he's like, I got it, Sarge. I got it. I'll go jump in the truck. And it's like, hey, we need somebody to go inspect the cab of the truck. I'll do it, Sarge. I'll do it. Right. He's always that guy. So I was in this one spot for about 4 months, and his name is Sergeant Lim, Daniel Lim, and great, great kid from California as well. My wife and I, our whole family, we're both from Los Angeles, and so we connected really well. And then his unit moved out from there and went to go on a different mission, and we got a new combat engineer unit to be our engineers and our explosives inspectors and all that stuff, right? A buddy of mine, one of my fellow sergeants, we found a stash of IED explosive bomb making material, det cord, all kinds of stuff, and we called in the CAV guys. He came in, we turned it over to them, and somehow, some way, the Afghan commander of that region, it was given to him. Why? I don't know to this day, I don't know, but the following day, Sergeant Lim and his team were doing a route recon, and his convoy got hit, and he got out because he was under attack. He got out to go help the guy in front of him because the front of his engineering equipment got blown off, and he couldn't move his truck. When he got out, they got ambushed with small arms fire, and we lost him that day. Wasn't my unit, but it was a young soldier that I met. And it's because of him and because of others like him that we do what we do. We serve our community. We serve the families. I'm still in contact to this day through Facebook with friends and family members of his from back then because it really impacted me. You know, I was fortunate enough to come back from both of my deployments with all of my soldiers. But on my second deployment, the organization that I was with, it was a one-star command. Down in Kandahar, we had the one mortuary affairs team in our unit. So every hero flight that came in, and that's what we called them, hero flight was someone who was killed in action, and they were bringing them down to Kandahar to be processed, package their remains, and then fly them out of country. Well, for a whole year, I stood on the tarmac for 101 veterans. Heroes that came in on hero flights. And it was the most somber, the most hurtful, because I don't know any of these people, but it hurt to watch those guys and gals come out of the plane, you know. And the one scripture that I wanted to read to you guys, and I'm sure it's very well known with everyone, it's in the book of John, chapter 15, verse 13, and it says, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." You know, and that's a scripture, a verse that we utilize a lot. Why? Because it has meaning to us. But as Christians, we understand the friend that we have in Jesus and the sacrifice that he made for us so that we could have a life. So the sacrifice that we make for each other here is so that other people can have a life, even if their family members are not here. We want them to feel alive. Veterans in your churches, in your communities, need to feel alive. And as a church, we need to step up. We need to step up. We need to create a group like this. You need to have people do outreaches for veterans. If you're in the Minneapolis area, you got Fort Snelling. You got all these different places. You got Arden Hills. If you're down by St. Cloud, you got Little Falls. You got Camp Ripley. You can look around. You got Reserve Army bases. You got National Guard. You got Marines, Navy, Air Force. You got all these people all around you. Okay, that's that harvest field that we need to reach out to. Okay, on the back of my sweater, I have a verse, Ephesians chapter 6, right? The armor of God. We use that a lot as well, right? It's like every coin that you get, you know, it's used a lot. Why? Because as soldiers, we feel we have that armor. We feel that we have that protective device that keeps us from being hurt. Sometimes it's a wall that we put up. We put up that front, and sometimes that wall needs to be chiseled away and replaced with something else. And that something else is the Word of God and the strength that God gives us. In 2012, I received this challenge coin. You guys all know what challenge coins are, right? And I got this from Cottonwood Church back in Los Alamitos, California. It was the church that we were attending before my second deployment. This is the first time I ever saw a church give away a coin like this. Now, this church is 15,000 members strong. Okay, when they said, "Veterans, please stand up," and I saw how many veterans stood up in that church. It's across the street, down the road from a National Guard joint base. Man, they must have given away over a couple of thousand of these. Okay, these are not cheap. Okay, that inspired me to create our own coin for our church, for our group. Okay, on the one side, it's got the flag, and it says "We Military Network." And on the other side, it says, "Put on the full armor of God." And it's got that logo in the back. And it's just to remind our veterans, you need to put on God's armor every single day. Every single day. Trust in the Lord. Do not fret, right? God is going to be with us. So I just want to say thank you. If you guys have any questions regarding how to start this group, a group if you're interested, down at our booth, we're by door B between A and B. You can definitely go down there. We'd love to talk to you a little bit more. My wife and I are open to traveling to your church. If you want us to speak with the group, it doesn't have to be in front of your church in sanctuary, you know, or give a message or anything like that. But if that's what you ask for, then, you know, we'd be for it. But if you just have an interest group and you want some more information, we'll also have the QR code over there and our contact info. It was going to be on the last slide, but, you know, Murphy's Law. And, you know, that's what it is. So
I have to be the bad okay. man?
Yes.
And stop?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Sorry about
rules
that, guys.
Rules are rules, and yes. You should know that.
I know. But in the military, we always say it's better to ask for forgiveness than permission. So I'm sorry.
You're not working
I'm
with
sorry,
Joanna.
Brother.
No.
I'm sorry, Joanna, if you're listening to this.
The leader of the meeting determines how long it is, too.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
So can we just give him a round of applause?